Grace and peace are yours from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In David Allen's productivity system, Getting Things Done, he recommends having a waiting for list. This is where you list all of the things that you're waiting for others to do before you can move forward on a project or a task. For example, you're waiting for your spouse to pick a paint color before you go and purchase paint for the bedroom. You're waiting for feedback on availability before scheduling a meeting. You're waiting for a part to arrive before fixing your car. In Allen's system, you get all of those things out of your mind and onto a written down somewhere so that you realize that I can't move forward on that project. And so there's no reason to use my energy thinking about that project until the thing that I'm waiting for is completed. Before he ascended into heaven, Jesus promised, "I will come back. And when I come back, I'm going to raise all the dead and I'm going to judge all people. You don't know when that day will be, so I want you always to be ready." We're waiting for the Lord to keep his promise. Many first century Christians were convinced that Jesus would come back during their lifetimes. They told others that Jesus was coming back, and they warned them about the wrath that was coming from heaven. And they encouraged them to put their trust in Jesus. But as time went on, nothing happened. No appearance of Jesus, no resurrection from the dead, no judgment day. Days and months turned into years and decades. And those Christians started to wonder, what's taking so long? When is he coming? And some of those whom they had warned about Jesus' return taunted them. Where is your Jesus? Did he forget his promise? What's taking him so long? Maybe you've encountered that same thing. People discounting the reality of God because they see no sign of coming judgment on the world. Atheists have recently put up billboards in New Mexico and Texas urging people not to go to church at Christmas because it's just fake news. Many people scoff at the idea that God exists, that heaven and hell are real, or that there's a day when the world will come to an end. But Peter warns us not to take what appears to be a delay in Jesus' return to mean that it's fake news. First, he reminds us that God is not bound by time. Our eternal God has no beginning and no end. He sees all of time in an instant. And so it may seem to us like it's taking a long time, but it's not a long time to God. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. No matter how much time has passed, God sees it all at one time. But we still might wonder, what's taking so long? We look at our world and we see a world that seems to increase in wickedness and unbelief year after year, and we think, God, why haven't you come yet? Why haven't you come to rescue us and to put an end to this sinful, wicked world in which we live? Though such thoughts can come from a heart that trusts God and that genuinely longs for the day when we will live in his loving presence. But don't those thoughts sometimes come from a heart that is impatient with God? A heart that doesn't trust God to do what's best for us. Don't those thoughts sometimes come from a self-righteous heart that would rather see the destruction of the sinners around us than their deliverance? But God's thinking is not our thinking. While we selfishly grow impatient with God, God's patience with sinners like us is what is delaying his return. Peter writes, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." Despite the wickedness of the world in which we live, God does not want to see sinners die in our sins. He wants everyone to know that Jesus came to save them from their sins. He wants everyone to trust in Jesus as their Savior and then be welcomed into eternal life with him when he comes again. Jesus has not returned yet because of his patient love for sinners, like you and me. He could have returned the day before you were born. He could have returned an hour before you were to be baptized. But he didn't want you to perish. He didn't want you to be banished from his presence forever. He wanted to rescue you from your sin and to save you from the damnation that you deserve for your sins. And so he waited. He waited to return until after you had heard the news that Jesus had come to save you. He delayed his return until after you were born again of water and the Word by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he has waited to return until he has used the witness of your life and the witness of your lips to share with others the only way for them to escape the destruction that is to come. That destruction is real and it's complete. And it will come when mankind least expects it. Peter writes, "The day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare." And as if to make sure that we didn't miss the point, he repeats it for us. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. The world may scoff at the idea, but God promises that this world will not go on forever. And when he returns, no one will escape. God will completely destroy the world that we ruined by our disobedience. And yet Peter says, "You look forward to the day of God." How can we look forward to the day that brings such destruction on the earth? We can look forward to it because we know that it won't only be a day of destruction. Peter says, "We are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells." God's going to start over. While many picture heaven as bouncing around in the clouds, the Bible seems to describe it as a newly created earth in which we will finally dwell with God in the perfect harmony that he intended since the beginning of time. How will that new heaven and new earth be like the world that we are so familiar with now? We don't know. But we do know this. It will be perfect. In the fire that God brings on the last day, he will destroy every danger and disease, every pain and sorrow, every evil influence, and every source of frustration that pegs our lives in this fallen world. Even we ourselves will be remade on that day. We will be given new and glorified bodies to live with God where righteousness dwells. There our righteousness will finally be complete as every sign of sin is done away with forever. No more temptations from the devil, from our hearts, or from the world in which we live. No more guilt or shame. There we will live with the image of God finally, perfectly, and fully restored in us, with our hearts and our minds perfectly aligned with His. And so our joy will be complete and it will be uninterrupted. That's the joy God wants to share with us. That's why when our ancestors brought ruin upon our world by their disobedience, God promised to send His own Son to crush their enemy and to destroy death. Despite sinful man's repeated rejection of God's word and His ways, God kept His promise in that child born in Bethlehem. Jesus lived in perfect patience and love in our place. And then He laid down His perfect righteous love, righteous life as the payment for our unrighteousness. As we trust in God's gift of His Son, He covers us in the spotless, blameless life that Jesus lived for us. As we cling to His promise of forgiveness in faith, we who were once enemies of God are now at peace with Him. Peter wants to encourage us today to be ready for the day of the Lord. He says, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. But that's not by the things that we do. Peter has already said that all the works done in this world will be destroyed when Jesus comes again. To be spotless, blameless, and at peace with God is only possible through faith in Jesus' life and death and resurrection for you. And such faith is fed and nourished through God's word and through His precious sacraments. And so comforted by how God kept His promise and sent Jesus to be our Savior, we want to regularly hear and read His word. Through His word, He strengthens our trust in all of His promises. He turns our hearts daily to Him in humble repentance to receive His promised forgiveness. And He prepares us to receive Him with joy and peace when He returns to take us to our new home in the new heavens and the new earth. It may seem like that day is taking a long time to come, but let each passing day remind you of the incredible patience of your God, who wants all people to be saved from death and brought into eternal life through faith in His Son. Let each day be a day to return to God's word and to be reminded of His promise to forgive your sins and to bring you into the new heaven and new earth that He is preparing for you. And let each day be a day to share God's promises with others, and to pray that they too may come to repentance and rejoice when our Savior returns. Whether or not you keep a waiting for list in your life, let every day of your life be a day of waiting for the Lord to keep His promise. Your Lord Jesus promises to come back, and He warns about the destruction that will come for all who are found unprepared when He returns. At the same time, He encourages us. He encourages us with the promise that all who receive Him with repentant hearts will be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him and welcomed into our eternal home with Him when He returns. As you wait, don't be discouraged. Don't lose heart. The Lord will keep His promise. He is coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.